And now, live from Jerusalem, you're listening to Israel Inspired Radio. Here are your hosts, Rabbis Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel.
Shalom and welcome to Israel Inspired. This is Ari Abramowitz here with Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel. Jeremy, it's an honor to be with you. We're here in the fields, the forests of Judea right now.
Yeah, we decided to record outside today.
Yeah.
So it's such a beautiful day.
Such a beautiful day, which is sort of contrasting the mood that we're leading up to in the country. Because while it's beautiful to be alive in Israel right now, it's also we're entering more solemn times. And the transition from the solemn times of Yom HaZikaron, which is Memorial Day, which is different than Memorial Day in America, at least on a national level. You know, there's definitely people in America that take Memorial Day very seriously that have lost friends and family. But in Israel, I think it cuts a little bit deeper. It's more pervasive. We're more connected to it in a visceral way. And then we transition into Yom HaTzmaut, Independence Day.
It is such a roller coaster.
It's a real roller coaster if you allow yourself to really delve into it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone in Israel that doesn't at least know someone who is killed either fighting for the land of Israel in a terror attack. And it's a Memorial Day for those who died in battle or victims of terror, and everyone's been affected.
And victims of terror also. That confuses a lot of people. Why should victims of terror count? But the truth is that every single Jew that is walking here in Israel is furthering the cause of the Jewish state, that dream of a Jewish state, a state of Jews that we finally have after 2,000 years. And you see that they don't discriminate between soldiers and civilians and babies. Every single Jew here is part of that. So I think every single Jew is on some level a soldier, unfortunately, because we're the least militant of all people as the Jewish people. We're the most, you know, open-hearted, loving, compassionate. I know it's not nice to sing these praises of your own nation, but it's, from my perspective, it's really the truth, to the degree that it drives me nuts sometimes, that we can love our enemies so much that it becomes actually a fault in ourselves. But I'll tell you, I just came back from America. I went there last week. I was not able to be with you on the program. You had a beautiful program about Yom HaShoah, about Holocaust Day, you know, Memorial Day. But my grandmother passed away. She was my last grandparent, and I was very, very close with her. And I immediately jumped on a plane and went there to America, was at her funeral. Thank God I made her funeral. All the grandchildren were there. All the children were there. And, you know, I'm not bringing this up for no reason. You know, we're talking about, at least I want to talk about Memorial Day right now. And my grandmother, you know, she was so loving. She wasn't this sort of, you knew her, right? We
sure.
called her Didi. She wasn't like that bubble-a, you know, stereotypical Jewish grandmother type. She was much more reserved and dignified. The love she had for her grandchildren, for her children, was beyond reproach. Nobody had any doubts, to the degree where she had total immunity to speak of the deepest honesty about everything, even if it hurt sometimes. And she, I remember asking her what the worst day of her life was, and she said it was when my father was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes at the age of 8. They say it was like viral then, and she was the worst day of her life. It wasn't something that happened to her, it was something that happened to her children. And she felt that way for all of her children. And in turn, you know, my father was the recipient of so much love from his mother that I never once in my whole life had any doubt that not only that my father loved me, but that he loved me and my siblings beyond anything else in the world. And that love, he had the capacity to give us that love because he received that love from his mother. And I think a parent's love for their child creates the vessel through which the child is able to experience love, to give love, to receive love. And the reason I'm saying this is because here in Israel, how many thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers gave their lives in a sacrificial way, in a voluntary way, meaning it was a free will, loving kindness offering that they gave to sacrifice. That when you go to Har Herzl, Mount Herzl, the military ceremony, I don't know, Jeremy, if you've been there, but you look at the graves. I mean, these are 15-year-old kids that came. They would like lie in order to get in. It's not like this is a draft army where you serve because you're drafted and you have to. people are excited. I volunteered to serve in the Army, and I wasn't alone. And even the people that are drafted are excited and eager to serve in it. And so those who gave their lives for this country, really the blood they spilled, the sacrifice they gave, created a vessel, a vehicle for all the people in this country to experience the love and the passion of what it is to be here in Israel. It's just such a rich country, and I think it's worth the pain of living here because of the vibrancy of life here.
Yeah, it's almost like to the degree that you can feel your own Memorial Day is to the degree that you can experience true patriotism and love for your country and the ups of what it means to be a part of the nation of Israel. That in one way or another, outside of Israel, Judaism is a religion. You know, it's ancient events commemorating times, holidays, tradition, heritage. It's obviously a spiritual path as well, but somehow the merging of that religion with the nation again brings Israel back to where it was always meant to be, a living, breathing entity in relationship with the land, in relationship with each other, in a relationship with God. Like the nation has been resurrected. And in that, there's a lot of pain. But, you know, to the degree of the pain is the degree of the love. And I feel like the roller coaster ride that every Israeli goes on from Memorial Day, where you can experience a powerful Memorial Day here in Israel. Last Memorial Day, I went up to Har Herzl to the military cemeteries, and you see so many families and families' friends that come. And then that very night, there are already fireworks and celebrations and dancings because we're finally free. And it was the sacrifice of those men and women that allowed us to be free, that allow us till this day to be free. And it's really living in a state of gratitude and appreciation for what we have.
You know, I'll tell you, you said we're not a religion, we're a family. And that's something, just going back for a moment to my grandmother. I went to visit her in the hospital, and the doctor came in. He's like, "Mrs. Abramowitz, it's good to see you." And she turns to us as her family, and she whispers in that sort of old person, really loud whisper, "Is he one of us?" Meaning, like, is he a Jew? You know, because one of us, it wasn't co-religionist, it's a family. And growing up in Texas, I felt very much like to be a Jew is to be part of a family, just not on an intellectual level, but on an intuitive level. And for her funeral, I went to New York, and I don't feel that there. I feel like New York Jews really consider each other and act towards each other as co-religionists. Even, you know, I went to the synagogue I was praying at during the time I was in New York. I went upstairs. It was part of a Jewish day school, and they hung up these pictures of these little letters the kids wrote. I'm talking first, second grade kids. And one of the letters this first grader wrote said, "I like Israel, but I don't feel so connected to Israel because as a Jew, it's part of a religion. I'm part of a religion. And I don't see all the Jewish people as my family." And that was his letter. And that's what they put up on the wall.
He actually wrote that?
He wrote that. He wrote that. It was like, he doesn't see. That's what his message was to the world. I mean, he's an 8-year-old kid. I'm not trying to blame him. But it's just a reflection of seeing that. But then I said to myself when I first went to New York and I got on the subway and I see a Jew there and I put out my hand and I said, "Hey, I'm Ari. What's your name?" And he's like, "Okay, crazy man." Like, he didn't know who am I to him. And he thought I was nuts for going up to him because why should, just because we're both Jews, he do that? And then I thought, well, it's just that there's so many Jews in New York. So that's why it becomes more of a co-religionist thing. But then you come here to Israel and it doesn't feel like a co-religionist thing, and it's a Jewish country. And I think about that. Why do you think in Israel it doesn't have that sort of co-religionist mentality to it?
We're in the boat here together, meaning the Hamas, the Hezbollah, Iran all want to bomb us. Whether you're an Orthodox Jew, a secular Jew, a Haredi Jew, we're here together. We serve in the army together. We celebrate together. We mourn together. There's just a bond here that can be created amongst friends and amongst civilians that's unparalleled. I don't know any country like Israel. I don't think there's any country that has the same level of unity, the same level of compassion. I mean, you see in the news when there's a terror attack in the world, if there's a bomb that blows up in Brussels, or if there's shootings in Paris, everyone is taking cover. Everyone's running the heck away. And in Israel, if a bomb goes off somewhere, everyone is running right to the bomb in order to help the wounded. It's like a phenomenon that doesn't exist anywhere else. And I don't know, there's something about Israel, and specifically I think about it around Yom HaAtzmaut as we're like about to celebrate this great celebration, that the people who have come to Israel never gave up on their dreams. You know, I think about the early modern Zionists, you know, the Herzls and the Ben-Gurions and the Jabotinskys. It was so miserable to be a Jew. We couldn't own land. We couldn't have many jobs. We weren't accepted to universities. We were just like in our own little ghettos, in our own shtetls, just waiting for something good to happen, waiting for Mashiach to come. And then these Zionist pioneers said, no, we have a dream. We're going to pick ourselves up and move back to Israel, and we're going to work the land, and we're going to revive the desert, and we're going to live together. And they established kibbutzim, where the finances were shared amongst each other, because it wasn't even about the finances. It wasn't about a material better life. It wasn't that they were leaving Europe because they were poor. They were coming here to fulfill their dream. And Israel is a constant reminder for all of us. Are we living our dream? Because this is the land of dreamers. That's what Shira Malot says, that when we come back, we'll be like dreamers. I never understood that just until I started thinking about the fact that these men in the 18 and 1900s said, I have a dream to return to the land of my fathers, and I'm going to actualize that dream. That we're living in the land of dreamers, and Yom HaAtzmaut is the greatest celebration. And I think about it, you know, most religions have holidays, and their holidays are commemorating events that happened thousands of years ago. Yom HaAtzmaut is like the newest biblical holiday. It's not that Judaism is an ancient religion of thousands of years ago, that we commemorate events of the Exodus of Egypt or the Maccabees and Hanukkah thousands of years ago. It's like now Judaism is alive. Now Israel is alive. Now the Bible isn't just a book, you know, with dust on a shelf. It's like the book that is guiding history. It's a book that we're living. And Yom HaAtzmaut is like the newest biblical celebration that we're like continuing the story. That the vision of the prophets given thousands of years ago in that Bible are manifesting now. That's our greatest celebration, that this is like the very next chapter. I was learning on Shabbat Ari this amazing Torah from the Sfat Emet. And the Sfat Emet wrote this in, I think, the year like 1880. So that's before like Herzl. That's before like modern Zionism. And he said, well, there are the Torah holidays. There's Passover, there's Sukkot, and there's Shavuot, there's Pentecost. And then as a reflection of those, the other holidays came. He says that Hanukkah is really a reflection of Sukkot, because Sukkot was about the clouds of glory, the tabernacles that were in the desert. The clouds of glory were because of Aaron, and Aaron was a priest. The Maccabees were priests. It was lighting the menorah, which only the high priest could do. Purim, he says, is about Shavuot, about receiving the Torah, because we know that on Purim, it says what the Jews didn't receive all throughout that time, what was given to them almost by force at Sinai, kimu v'kiblu, they received it and they accepted it on Purim. They finally got it and they accepted the Torah and they said, that's it, we're committed to God out of our own choice this time. And the Sfat Emet says, well, what about Passover? And in 1880, he says, soon, we're waiting for a new holiday to be established that will be the reflection of the Geula, that will be a reflection of Passover, that one day we will make it back to Israel and celebrate our last biblical holiday that will reflect Passover. And to think that in 1880 he wrote that, and now in 2016...
anticipating that a new holiday would be born in the times to come. Like, a lot of people are so, you know, concretized and solidified in their heads. The holidays that there are, that's what it is.
And here we are now, living.
In the most dynamic part of Jewish history.
And now we're like living the newest holiday in biblical times, in our times, and to celebrate it. And it's so funny how we celebrate it. We celebrate it like, you know, there's a counting of the Omer, where we count barley. And chametz isn't allowed in the temple, except in very rare occasions. On the sacrifice of Shavuot, on a thanks offering, a korban todah, you can bring chametz, but that's it. Otherwise, the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, is a chametz-free zone. There's no leavened bread. But then once, after like we leave Egypt, there's one point where we finally can take the chametz, we take the leavened bread, and we bring it as a two-bread offering to God on Shavuot, on Pentecost. And I'm thinking that, you know, now, how do we celebrate Israel? We got barbecues, we got fireworks. It's like somehow we've taken the material of this world that very often we kind of look down upon. We say, no, but in Israel, the material, the land, the rocks, the soil, the physicality is holy in its own right. And we're here to elevate it. We're here to celebrate it as we've returned to these ancient stones.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Jeremy, when I think about... sometimes I just try to make sense of Israel by comparing it to other countries in the world. And like you said, it's just so unique. But one of the, you know, greatest anchors I have is America, because I also feel deeply connected to America. But I feel like the glue that brings Americans together is not the doesn't adhere the same as it used to, even from my perception when I was a kid, but definitely not, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And why is it that Americans don't seem as connected to each other? Because once upon a time, there was a much more universal, pervasive agreement upon the values that America was founded upon. And now those values are so in question, and it's reflected just in the...
They're not in question. They're totally divisive. There's Bernie Sanders to Ted Cruz.
Right. A huge spectrum of fundamental core values in question. And so what is it that brings Americans together other than the happenstance of being born in the same place? And when you lose that adherence, you lose the willingness to sacrifice for each other. You lose that family feeling, which already in America, I think, was based primarily on values, where in Israel, it's not only values, but it transcends values to the national level. And what national level? That we're family. We're descended from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and the descendants of those children are the Jewish people.
We are a family-turned nation.
And what better way to celebrate and to mourn? Because when I was at my grandmother's funeral, and I'm speaking there, and all the grandchildren are there, and the children are there, and afterwards we all went, and there was so much love, I realized that is the celebration. She gave birth to these four children who had grandchildren, and she loved them so much, and nothing would bring her more joy than seeing them love each other. And that's why I think one of the greatest callings and the greatest beauty of both Memorial Day and Independence Day is that it's celebrated from the left wing to the right wing, from the religious to the not religious. We all are connected to some elements, to some core facets of what this day is about.
But I want to say that it is also about values, meaning Judaism, yes, we are a family, but there are converts to Judaism. Someone can say that this is a family I want to be adopted into. These are my values. I worship the God of Israel. I want to be a part of that destiny. I want to have that feeling. I want to be a part of this. And so it's not an exclusive family. It's a very open and welcoming family. And there are different levels of attachment. There's attachments where you fully convert and become a Jew. And then, of course, there's a ger toshav, a stranger that lives amongst us, that lives by the Torah, that lives still by our values, that says, I'm not Jewish. I don't feel Jewish. I don't want to be a part of that family. But I want to be their best friends. I want to be their alliance. I want to be a part of them. I want to be a part of that mixed multitude that attached themselves to Israel as they left Egypt. I want to be a part somehow or another. Although we are a family, there is in the core of the hearts of all of our families really is the Torah.
And then take it one step further out. And although it seems like it's one step removed on a core level, I think that these people are just as much family, and they're people that disagree fundamentally on theology. May totally disagree, but still say, I love Israel and I love the Jewish people so much that if there was something that happened to the Jewish people, even if it meant sacrificing my own life and endangering the life of my family, I would hide a Jew in my home. And casting their lot with the Jewish people, defending the Jewish people, those people too are in the most literal sense family and members of the family of Israel.
Yeah. Well, I'm flying out tonight to fly to Toronto to speak at the, you know, community-wide Yom HaAtzmaut event there. It'll be live streamed. For those of you that are interested, we'll send out a link. And I was just thinking, every time I go to Ben Gurion Airport, I always have this thought. And it's a weird thought because, you know, I didn't even know my grandparents. I mean, you were lucky enough to know your grandmother until now. I never got to really meet my grandparents at all. I don't really have any memories of them. And the last person we know in my family tree is my grandfather's father. And his name was Zev, which means wolf. And sometimes when I'm in Ben Gurion Airport, I think, what if we were to somehow bring my grandfather's father to Ben Gurion Airport today? And he were to be walking around and see like black Jews from Ethiopia and brown Jews from Morocco and blonde blue-eyed Jews from Russia and American Jews and Indian Jews and all of the Jews of the world have congregated into this spectacular airport in Ben Gurion.
I'll tell you what I think he would
say. And then they would all be speaking Hebrew. And he didn't know Hebrew. He spoke Yiddish. And he's like, what? They're all speaking Hebrew.
He would immediately assume that the Messiah is here.
Oh, he'd be like, where is he?
Where's the
Messiah? He would see like Jewish soldiers walking down the street with like a Israeli flag on their shoulder. He'd be like, well, where is he? Like, well, where is he? He's like, where's the Mashiach, man? I can't believe it. It's happened. And he wouldn't be wrong for thinking that. We are so close
on the cusp
to fulfilling all of the dreams of the prophets of Israel. We're right around the corner, and Yom HaTzmaut is that celebration. I mean, I think one of the greatest questions that people need to ask is, why is the Bible a story? You know, it's like weird. All the ancient literature, all this, the holy literature, if it's a law book, it should look like the Ten Commandments. If the Torah is just the law, then it should say, thou shalt not worship idols, thou shalt not kill, no adultery, honor your mother and father, keep the Sabbath. It should just be a list of laws. But that's not the way the Bible is written. There's Adam and Eve and their whole story, and Noah and his children and their whole story. And then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their children, they go down to Egypt, they come up from Egypt, they build a temple, the temple's destroyed. And now we're celebrating Yom HaTzmaut as like this climax of our final return to the land of Israel, celebrating our redemption. And we're not fully there yet, but we're closer than we've ever been, leaving the slavery of Auschwitz all the way now back to the land of Israel. And although we've gone through hard times, and obviously that's what Memorial Day is about, is not forgetting the hard times, not forgetting the challenges and the sacrifices, but really celebrating the great, wondrous miracle of Israel, that somehow our people has survived and made it back to our land.
You know, in Hebrew, Jeremy, our sages say that phonetic sounds and letters are interrelated regarding their meaning. And therefore, the Hebrew word for zachar, which is remember, is related to sagar, which means to close. Because when we remember something, we close it into our hearts. And in our hearts, we keep it supremely meaningful forever. And that's what I think we need to do in this moment in time in Jewish history, on this Memorial Day, is to think of all those who have given their lives for us to be here today, and to close them in our hearts forever, to never forget them, and to live with a perpetual sense of gratitude to them and to Hashem, who's brought us back to our land. To all of you out there, have a meaningful Yom HaZikaron and an uplifting Yom HaAtzmaut. Thank you so much. Shalom from Jerusalem.